Hey everyone, welcome back to the Life by Taylor podcast, where we learn and grow together. I know this episode is being uploaded a bit late, and last week I didn't upload an episode, and I will use this opportunity not to apologize, but quite the opposite. To be an example of what it means to not force anything, to be in flow with your productivity and your creativity, and I understand how hard it is for people to accept this as truth, but I try to live my life in a way where discipline is freedom, of course. Doing things consistently, even when they're not comfortable, even when I don't want to, is important at times. At the same time, because of the nature of this podcast being a podcast where it's not scripted, it's not structured, it's truly just me flowing as an open vessel, there are advantages and disadvantages to that. The advantages are in the fact that the episodes are really my works of art, and I think that's what makes them so great. But when I'm going through something that is not allowing me to feel centered energetically, where I don't feel at peace with myself, it's very, very challenging and I would say even impossible for me to come on here and tap into that creative flow. Last week, I did make just a conscious decision to put it aside because I had no idea what I wanted to make this episode on. But if I'm being fully honest with you guys, and I will be honest because if not, then what am I doing here? I actually recorded an episode before Friday and started editing it. And just felt like it felt like I was talking more from my mind. I wasn't as centered. I wasn't as intentional in how I was speaking. And even though I put in the time to record it and edit half of it, I decided I'd rather post an episode late and redo it in a way that feels good to me, something that I'm proud of sharing, than post that. That is not me being a perfectionist. I think one of my strongest qualities is my lack of perfectionism. I can make a post and post it and have typos and not care. I can make a podcast episode without even listening to it, upload it because it felt good. But listening to that podcast episode, I just didn't feel like there was any substance or any value in that episode to be shared. So I paused and I came back to myself. I've recentered myself since and really meditated on what this episode is going to be about. And I'm really excited to share this one with you guys. Before I start, I'd love to just give you a personal life update because you guys really are probably the people who know the most about my life, literally more than my family and some of my friends, as sad as that is. But my friends do listen to the podcast. I guess that counts too. But for those of you that listened to the episode with Derek, I obviously, since you guys heard from me last, have spent 5 days with Derek, which were so spiritually enriching and eye-opening, and he felt called to come here to deliver a message to me that I feel has sparked a very rapid, very dramatic transformation for me. I feel very much in a growing stage at the moment. I feel like I'm in between two versions of myself, and therefore I feel very vulnerable, almost like I'm a snake that has shed half of her skin, so I have that very fresh pink flesh. Half of me is just open and exposed, and the other half of me is holding on to what I've known to be true and what was familiar. I really want to honor my own journey and go through this transformation and go through this experience fully and really work through it with myself because it's opened my eyes in so many ways, but I know it's just the beginning of it. And I want to honor that so I can grow through this experience and hopefully share this with you all. But today's podcast is actually definitely inspired by and in line with that transformation and that growth and these new things that I'm coming into understanding. And I decided to call this episode Three of the Biggest Lies Your Ego Tells You. Now, the reason I decided to call it that is because part of my experience at the moment is opening myself to the presence of divine love. I am studying A Course in Miracles. I read A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, which I highly, highly recommend. I really don't remember a book that has been so eye-opening and refreshing and just, wow, so magical since I read A New Earth. And I'm sure I will read this book many, many times again and again. But A Return to Love is actually a book by Marianne Williamson, who is a teacher and a student of A Course in Miracles, which is a very long, dense book written by a woman named Helen Schumann. She wrote it in the late 1970s, and she describes it as a channeling, as her channeling Jesus and writing this book, which is almost like an interpretation of the Bible, but it has nothing to do with Christianity and religion. It actually is just a full book describing the human potential of allowing the greater presence of the energy of love into your life in a way that results in miracles occurring. Everything you want is on the other side of really feeling that divine presence of love. So on that note, so I do want to talk about this idea that there is this divine presence of unconditional, infinite love that we carry within us and that God has for us in every single moment, in our worst moments, in our shameful moments, in the parts of our life that we try to tuck away and hide from God and bring God out of the picture. It is so eye-opening to start letting God into every part of my life and letting His love into my life. Now, when I say His, for me, since I was young, I just described God as a man through my Judaism, and it doesn't bother me. But of course, every single person has the right to decide what God means for them and how they want to define God. And it can be the universe, it can be God, it can be source. I feel comfortable saying God. I feel comfortable describing Him as a He. And I just want that to be clear, that that is my own personal preference. I encourage each person to use the terminology that makes them feel that frequency of love. It doesn't matter what words you use. So for today's podcast episode, I decided to call this episode Three of the Biggest Lies Our Ego is Telling Us, because the truth is we are divinely, infinitely, unconditionally loved by Source, by God. And to really put that into perspective, I think it's important to really think about what impact that would have on our life if we really truly opened ourselves to experiencing that and feeling that. As someone who has been in love with a few humans in my life, I can tell you that the feeling of being in love, this mutual feeling of infatuation and being loved from another human, is exhilarating. It makes the sky bluer and the trees greener, and everything that is unnecessary fades away. Your whole worldview changes. You carry yourself with more confidence. You feel more beautiful just from having this exchange of love from human to human, this feeling of acceptance and desire and approval from another human is truly one of the best feelings in the world. And it's why so many people are looking for it and are after it and try to hold on to it for dear life. But the difference between divine love and human love is that human love changes over time. Even in the best relationship, it doesn't stay all rainbows and butterflies. Humans by nature are going to be judgmental. They are going to have a fluctuation in their emotional state. They are going to have good days and bad days, and they can change their mind. They carry trauma. They have all of these complexities that make it very, very hard to maintain a pure divine love forever. God's love, divine love, source love is unconditional love that does not shake, that does not move no matter what. It is all of the love you've ever felt, all of the love you ever dreamt of feeling, times infinity, and it's with you in every moment, in every single thing that you do. In the things that you think are the least holy and the most shameful, God still loves you in that moment. Now, if we can all understand that when a human loves us, we carry ourselves with such grace and such enthusiasm and confidence and this lightness, I want you to imagine how dramatically and how radically every single part of your life would change if you really let yourself be open to feeling the presence of that divine love for you. Even when a human loves you, there is nothing that can come close to the love that you know God has for you. If we use that example of a romantic relationship, we would have so much less fear if a person left us. We would have so much less attachment. We would have so much less anxiety in relationships if we knew that the most a human being can love us is just a drop in the ocean of the love that God, Source, the divine, has for us. We wouldn't be so addicted to receiving it from another person or waiting for another person to feel it. If we felt that divine love, we would go after our biggest dreams, because we would know that even if we fell on our face and failed, even if we looked like a fool, even if we made the worst decision and the biggest mistakes on our journey trying to go after our dreams, God still loves us. Source is still there. That divine love is still there. Considering that to be the truth, what gets in the way of our ability to open to that love, to receive that love, to accept that love, so many things that are stemmed from our human mind. And our human mind can be described as our ego. Now, I'm going to describe what the ego is first, because many people who haven't maybe read spiritual texts or aren't familiar with the way ego is used in spirituality might assume that I mean ego as in the ego that stems from being better than others or having a sense of pride. But ego, in terms of spirituality, is actually describing the egoic mind. And I'm going to read the definition of ego from A Course in Miracles before I go on to tell you some of the many lies our ego is telling us that block us from receiving that love and what the consequences are for us believing those lies. The term ego, as A Course in Miracles uses it, is different from the common Freudian understanding of ego. In the Course, the ego is that part of the mind that believes itself separate from God and all others. It is the ego that projects our guilt outward onto our brothers, judging and blaming them. At the same time, the ego tells us that we are flawed, unworthy, and deserving of punishment and death. The Course counters this message, promising us that we are purely innocent and beloved by God, who does not condemn us. The ego does not really exist except as a symbolic part of the mind. So this ego, this part of our mind, this little creature that lives inside of us that is constantly and consistently never stops working against our ability to believe in our worthiness, our inherent worthiness, our inherent lovability, and our inherent feeling that we are safe and we are loved and we are loving and we are cared for. Our ego is what stops us from believing that truth. So as I was reading A Return to Love, studying from A Course in Miracles, I noticed some things that I really thought were fascinating about how the ego gets in the way of our ability to live our best life. There were three that stood out to me the most that I wish so many people could hear and really resonated deeply with me. And that's why I decided to share them with you guys today. These are three of the biggest lies your ego is telling you about yourself. Before we continue today's podcast, I want to take a short break just to talk about something that I want you guys to know about. As you guys know, I'm a huge advocate, believer, and lover of meditation. I actually was talking about what meditation has brought into my life the other day, and it actually brought me to tears. As much as I believe meditation is an extremely powerful method to connect with your soul, with your intuition, and really should be used as a spiritual practice, I believe that it is just that. It is a way to connect to source. It is a way to tap into our creativity. It is a way to remember the truth of who we really are. When it comes to days where I'm feeling debilitating anxiety, stress, frustration, anger, when I'm feeling overwhelmed emotionally, it's actually not meditation that I turn to. My go-to in those moments is actually breathwork. I was lucky enough to be introduced to these beautiful people who started this company called Othership. And the Othership app is actually my first introduction to breathwork and has been such a crucial part of my life since then. They have breathwork exercises for everything. For pre-presentation anxiety, which I use often before I teach my workshops, to a full moon ceremony that you can do at home and really honor the full moon with your breath. They have so many beautiful tracks combined with music, some with movement, that I genuinely have been using for a year now. When I decided to quit smoking weed, Othership was my best friend to overcome my temptations. When I was traveling a lot and I was super jet-lagged, Othership's exercises for sleep, they were the only things I could rely on to actually help me fall asleep. As you guys know, this podcast is free, and I decided to team up with Othership so that I can offer you guys a free trial for the app using my affiliate link. That way, if you choose to try Othership and do something that will genuinely change your life, you can also support me in that process. I promise you, if you try Othership, your life will literally never be the same. If you want to try it now, you can click the link below in the podcast description. So let's talk about these three big lies. The first lie I want to share with you is actually one of the biggest lies I think we are told, and I've been told my entire life. In Hebrew, there was a saying that I was told my entire life, that a dog with a crooked tail would never have a straight tail, which basically is another way for saying people do not change. I've always found that intuitively hard for me to believe. When I was dating someone, or when I was in a fight with a friend, or when I would watch people interact and people would just throw around this phrase that people will never change, guys will stay the same, girls will stay the same. I just felt in my core that that was not true. And it absolutely is not. There is nothing our ego wants us to believe more than us believing that we cannot change. And when we carry a belief that other people cannot change, we are subconsciously accepting that to be true about everyone, including ourselves. Not only do I know this from personal experience, but I hope deep, deep within your soul and in your intuition, you know that you have the ability to be a completely different person through healing, through knowledge, through experiences, through wisdom, through pain and heartbreak. We are evolving constantly. We are changing constantly. And when we make a conscious decision to change, we can literally change every single part of who we are in our entire lives. How convenient, though, for our ego to tell us that we cannot change, to tell us that it's so hard to change, that it's so hard for other people to change, that everything is as it is and we just have to accept it. That is one of the most manipulative ways that we convince ourselves out of letting go of this belief that we need to stay the way we are or just accept the way we are and not challenge our ego. The second lie I want to bring up is that the ego will tell you that there is a better time to start. One of the things that I loved most that Marianne Williamson said in her book is that the difference between people who reach their potential, quote unquote potential, which she likes to call capacity versus potential, but the reason that there are some people who reach this high potential and others don't is not because they have more of it. It's because they recognize the power of their present. They do what they can with what they have now. They don't wait for a day to come where they are given permission or it becomes easy or they can just put in some effort and immediately succeed. They recognize the capacity they have in the present to reach that high potential and they make an effort to do what they can in the present to come closer to that. I really thought about this one because I do believe that there are some things that are not meant for now. However, that doesn't mean that I sit back and do nothing. I do what I can. So I recognize that writing a book just doesn't feel aligned for me at this point in my life. Would I like to write a book? Yeah. Am I also open to finding out that a book is not for me? Also. However, I do my podcast and I do other things that I know are watering the plant of my passions and my future and the future success of a book one day. But so many people are waiting for a better time, a right moment, a day where it becomes easier and more convenient to show up, to shine their light. She also spoke about how she used to wait around for someone to almost scout her and notice her and give her a stage and be like, wow, your potential is so great. Come. I highly related to that because for a long time, I was waiting to almost be seen and given a platform. Like someone was just going to come and be like, Taylor, you're so great. Come, let's give you a TV show. Let's make you a podcast. And she said there was a certain point where she realized she needed to give herself that platform. She needed to scout herself. She needed to give herself permission to shine before someone else gave her the validation or chose her. But our ego is telling us, you cannot do that. You don't decide that you're a star. You don't decide that you get to shine. You have to wait for someone else to tell you that. But what happens after someone else tells us that? Then we have permission to be this big star. Then we're going to show up fully in the world. That's very sad. So I encourage each person here to ask themselves if they could just give themselves permission to shine their light fully, what that would look like. We don't need other people to approve of it or accept it or confirm it for it to be true. The third big lie that our ego is telling us is that the simple beauty of our art and our ideas aren't enough. I struggled with this for so, so long. I always felt like I need to know more information and get more degrees and more certificates and really understand things on such a philosophical and intellectual level to make an impact on this world. And it's when I've accepted that my simple perspective and simple experience as a human being on this earth is enough. Do I allow myself to see that it is valuable, it is needed, it is powerful? And as simple as you think your art is, or your ideas are, or your perspective is, I want you to know that is just your ego's way of blocking you from sharing it with the world and shining your light. If we tie this back to accepting divine love and God's love for us, what does that mean in terms of these three lies? Well, let's start with the first one. If God loved me so, 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 so much, no matter what I do, if I eat unhealthy, if I eat healthy, if I act like this, if I act like that, if I'm doing something shameful, if I'm not, if I really felt love in every single moment, I would probably choose less things that make me feel bad, because most of the time we reach for those things because we feel shame, because we don't feel worthy, because we don't feel love. And accepting that love and really feeling it in my heart, letting myself feel so radically, unconditionally loved, allow me to change and evolve faster than any course or degree or experience or retreat I could go to in my life. So many people change when they find love in a human, when they find love in a relationship. Of course you can change. Now imagine if you could feel that love times infinity. You could literally change infinitely, evolving and becoming anything and everything you want from that place of love, not from a place of fear, not from a place of shame and judgment needing to change, but really blossoming like a flower, allowing yourself to just become whatever it is you truly want to become from that place of love. The second lie, like I said, is that there's a better time than now. Of course, our ego wants us to think that there's a better time than now, because if you started doing things and seeing how they can work and how much value they can bring and how good they feel, your ego will slowly lose its strength and its hold on you. Your ego wants nothing more than to hold you back and keep you as you are so that it can have its strength and power over you. But if you let that love in, if you truly feel God's love, then you would show up and do the most you can in every moment. I really see that when I have a supportive, loving partner in my life or a supporting, loving parent in your life, it doesn't even have to be a romantic partner. When you have a very supportive, loving friend, think of how much power, how much motivation, how much strength that gives you to show up knowing that you have this person by your side. So lately I've been showing up thinking, I have God on my side. God loves me so much. He wants me to succeed. He loves me even if I fail. He thinks I'm beautiful. He thinks I'm talented. He thinks I'm brilliant. He loves me as I am so, so, so much. So it gives me so much power to try and to start. There's so much less fear of failure. There's so much less room for procrastination or for my ego to convince me that now isn't a good time to start. Of course it is. And finally, how does accepting God's love affect the third lie? God made you as you are. God loves you as you are. God knows what you know. God knows every thought in your mind. God gave you the gift of your art and your power and your voice and whatever talent you have and whatever gifts you have. He wants you to use them. He wants you to share them to spread more love and more light into this world. Your ego wants to block you and stop you from that. So what is it doing? It's telling you, no, you need to know more. You need to be more sophisticated. Your voice needs to be better. Your knowledge needs to be wider. You need to have more knowledge. You need to have more validation, certification, whatever it is, because your ego is driven by fear. Wherever there is fear, love is not. And God is love. So you want to feel God's love with you. You want to feel that you are driven by that power of love. You are not driven by that power of fear. If I only know A, B, I'll share A, B. I'm not sharing the whole alphabet. But you can take where you are, you could take what you know, you can take the talent that you have now and share what you have in this moment. Loving you, God will continue to provide as you evolve. As I continue on my journey, I used to be so afraid. What happens if I run out of things to say? Well, God gives me new lessons to learn and new knowledge and brings new books into my life and gives me new challenges to work through. There's never an end to it. So the idea is to let that love in, to be aware of where our ego is lying to us and to live from a place where we are experiencing that feeling of divine love. Now, one thing that she said that I loved so much, where she was talking about our relationship to our ego, she was saying, it's amazing how anxiously we'll cling on to something that we are praying to be released from. So we will hold on anxiously to the voice of our ego and at the same time pray to be released from it. And the only way to move past that is to become aware of what is the ego and to let go of our hold on that familiar voice. To say, I surrender. I'm putting this into God's hands. I'm putting this into the universe's hands. I accept that you love me. Help me and ask for help. Help me move past these challenges. Help me let go of my ego. So many people want practical advice on how to overcome this. The most practical thing you could do is to let go and let God. Ask God to guide you. Ask God for help. When you admit that you don't know, when you admit that you're struggling, when you just say out loud, you know what, universe, guide me through this. I don't know how to move past my ego. I really want to share my love and light in the world. I trust that you will support me. I trust that you will show me how to do that. That's it. When you speak those words, when you invite God into the picture, miracles will happen. Before I go, I want to say thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love and support. I felt it on new levels as I opened this new group program. Just speaking to you guys, those of you who joined the program and also those of you who didn't, I could really feel the love with every conversation I had. And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate every single person who listens to this. If you want to support me and also do something incredible for your healing journey and your spiritual evolution, click the link below and download and try Othership. I promise you, you will not regret it. If you enjoyed this episode, screenshot it, share it on your story, tag me, maybe send it to a friend. Why not spread the love? And of course, if you haven't yet, please rate the podcast. And that is it. Thank you so much. I love you all, and I will be back on Friday.